Ambassador Rooney is not the only one preparing to make a trip back home. Many European bishops head back to Europe Tuesday after a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. Bishops from across Europe and North America taking part in the Holy Land coordination meeting have been traveling through Israel and the West Bank to express solidarity with the small local Christian community there.
Ed è molto importante, prima di tutto perché manifesta, fa vedere l'interesse della Chiesa, in questo caso della Chiesa dell'Europa, dell'America del Nord.
The Apostolic Nuncio in the Holy Land, Archbishop Antonio Franco, says the annual meeting is important because it gives the bishops an opportunity to assess the difficulties faced by local Christians and the needs of the local church. It also helps them determine concrete ways to help. Well, on Tuesday, the bishops had talks with Israel's interior minister before heading to Rome for meetings with top Vatican officials, including Secretary of State Tarcisio Bertone, on Wednesday. Philippa Hitchin has been traveling with the bishops. She sent this report.
Aside from the political encounters designed to raise the concerns of the Christian communities here with both Israeli and Palestinian leaders, one of the central moments of these annual visits is the celebration of Mass in the local parishes, enabling cardinals and bishops from Western countries to share briefly in the daily lives of these people. On Sunday, the Feast of Our Lord's Baptism, I spent the day in Bethlehem, from where you can look out across the hills, down towards the Jordan River Valley, where Jesus was baptized by John. In the Gospel accounts describing that moment, we have a perfect image of the Trinity, with Jesus in the waters of the Jordan, the voice of God the Father coming from the clouds, and the dove, symbol of the Spirit of Peace, appearing between the two. As I reflected on this mystery of the three in one, we travelled back across the separation barrier into the city where three faiths are struggling to coexist in this one place, a city which has known so many wars since the Prince of Peace was born in Bethlehem and died on the cross here in Jerusalem. At the start of this five-day meeting, the Latin patriarch Michel Sabah talked about the mystery of these holy places, Nazareth and Bethlehem, where the incarnation took place, or Jerusalem, where each Friday the Franciscans still walk the way of the cross and relive the mystery of the crucifixion and resurrection. The patriarch speaks of a vocation of all Christians in this land today to witness to these mysteries and to speak the message of peace and reconciliation which is at the heart of our faith. Christian leaders and people of all faith, he believes, must be prepared to stay in this city, to live and work and, if necessary, to die in order to bring peace to this land which has seen so much political and religious conflict over the centuries. In their own ways, the Catholic bishops who've spent a few days here will be taking this mystery of faith back to their own countries, their own parishes and dioceses, urging people to support all efforts at peace and reconciliation in this region. Patriarch Sabah is calling for a worldwide day of prayer for peace in the Holy Land to support his people and let them know their problems are not forgotten elsewhere in the world. Secondly, all the church leaders here agree that pilgrimages are an essential way of bringing much-needed financial support to the struggling communities, who are finding it increasingly hard to overcome the obstacles and make a decent living here. And thirdly, the visiting Catholic bishops will be returning home determined to put pressure on their own governments to support effective negotiations between Palestinians and Israelis, so often thwarted, yet so essential for the peace and security of all in this part of the world. In Jerusalem, I'm Philippa Hitchin.
Well, among the bishops taking part in the fact-finding pilgrimage to the Holy Land, a number of presidents of national bishops' conferences. Philippa spoke to Cardinal Francis George of Chicago, recently elected president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. This was the first time Cardinal George has participated in the Holy Land coordination meetings. She asked him what has struck him most.
It's a group of very concerned people who have followed the situation here and who have come to be pastorally present to the Catholics of the Holy Land.
What about, as you've been going around talking to people, what perhaps has struck you most?
Well, the differences of opinion about what is going on and the shared concern for the future. So it depends whether you're speaking to a Palestinian Christian or a Palestinian Muslim or an Israeli Jew or an Israeli Christian. You get slightly different perspectives on the situation because they're living different realities. But all of them are concerned about having peace in their society. No one wants to see their children go off to war. However, the way to find peace remains difficult to discover.
As you said, it's largely a question here of perception, isn't it? It's difficult to get away from the perception that you're either pro-Israeli or pro-Palestinian. And one of the problems, perhaps, with the United States is so often seen as an ally, if you like, of Israel in the fight against terror, pro-Israeli, and therefore finding it very difficult to end the occupation, which Palestinians would see as the first prerequisite for bringing peace to this country.
The perception of the United States is not entirely false, but it is more complicated than that. If you take a look at the statements of the U.S. government over the decades, they've always been in favor of a state for the Palestinian people. However, they're also quite concerned that there are people in Palestine and elsewhere who deny the existence of the State of Israel, and that is non-negotiable for the United States as it is for the Israelis. So the question then is, how can two peoples who are living cheek by jowl share this land in peace in two different states? That's been the American goal. The problem is compounded when the Palestinians have such an extreme difficulty in governing the territories that they have, a difficulty that they would say is caused by the Israeli occupation. But it's very complex on the ground. Nonetheless, in a general way, I suppose that is certainly part of the truth.
Do you see the goal of achieving this two-state solution any closer since President Bush's recent visit here to the region?
Well, officially, everyone has responded with the statement that they're going to try. Unofficially, I think there's a lot of skepticism, but anything that brings some kind of hope is something we should all pursue and pray for.
As you say, on the ground, though, there is a lot of skepticism, isn't there? What else, perhaps, can the United States do, government and people, to try and prove that it is really serious in this effort?
Well, I think we have to stay with it, but you have to have somebody to stay with. If there is to be peace here, it has to be peace among the people who are here. And while the United States certainly has a lot of influence in many ways, it doesn't govern Israel or Palestine. And so it is up to the people here. Whoever, as President Bush said, he's tried to give a mighty nudge, and I hope he's successful, and we should all pray that he is, because the alternative is that we run out of time for a two-state solution, and then the result will be more violence and perhaps chaos.
There are those here who have talked about the last-ditch attempt, a really critical moment. Do you share that view, that we are on the brink of a no-return situation if peace is not brought about, say, within the next year?
Well, that's the opinion of very respected diplomats, including some from the United Kingdom who have spoken with us, and so I presume that is true. It's also true that the longer the fence remains up, the more the division of the people and the acrimony and the contention will continue. The fence will come down, Israel has promised, when there is peace and their security demands are met. If there is no peace, then the fence remains up, and the fence divides people who, till a few years ago, used to live more closely together. Once you separate people and no relationships on a personal level are possible, there cannot be peace on a broader level either.
That's certainly one of the most important concerns, isn't it? This lack of contact, particularly between young people who are the future of these two states. What can you do? What can people in other countries do, perhaps, to support these efforts to overcome these rigid divisions?
I think some countries and private organizations have created places where Israeli youth and Palestinian youth come together outside of this country. I'm reminded a few years ago there was this program that we had in Chicago to bring Irish lads and lassies from the north of Ireland together with people from the Republic, and at a very young age, and it worked. It helped a lot. And so we should now, perhaps, unfortunately, but necessarily, have to try to do the same thing with the Palestinian and Israeli youth. It's important that they stay together. Now, because they can't meet physically, they stay together through computers. It's very interesting. Young people are connected electronically, and so the connections are there. But it's not nearly as effective as it would be if they could walk across the street and talk to one another.
What do the people in your diocese, the people in Chicago, think about the situation here? A lot of times we hear there's a lot of ignorance about what is going on, and these, again, back to the perceptions that Palestinian perhaps equals terrorist.
Oh, I don't think too many people believe that a Palestinian, by reason of being Palestinian, is a terrorist, but that there are terrorists among the Palestinians is also clear. The Hamas, in its official declarations at least, is for the violent overthrow of the Israeli state. Depending on whom you speak with, there's a greater or lesser understanding, perception of what is going on here. I wouldn't dare to say what's going on here after a few days' visit. So certainly someone who has never been here and hasn't had access to the people I've had is all the more disadvantaged in finding out the details. But there is a concern and a will on the part of everyone that there be peace in the Holy Land. And we pray for that. And I'm sure Catholics throughout the world pray for that, as they do here. People have been praying for the peace of Jerusalem for 5,000 years. And yet the history is marked by warfare and violence and bloodshed. But God's ways are mysterious but certain, and we have to continue to pray. And around that, everyone that I know of in the United States is united.
What do you think are the most important ways of supporting? You mentioned prayer, of course. So what else can people do outside to help support these efforts for peace here?
I think that the collections that we take up for the churches of the Holy Land are well supported, and that's important. That the living stones of the people here feel united and supported, and that we're still able to keep up as well the sacred places that were built long ago and need a lot of support. The support of the Holy See in its negotiations on the fundamental agreement with the Israeli government, and particularly now the issues around visas so that the clergy can be assured for the future. These are all ways that quietly, because no one likes to be publicly reprimanded, we can work to bring pressures so that both sides come together. The plight of Christians in the Muslim-occupied territories is one that's often ignored in the press at home. It's as if all Palestinians were Muslims and all Israelis were Jews. But there are Christians who are Israelis and there are Christians who are Arabs and Palestinians. And that's a dimension that we should, I think, as Catholics, bring forward far more often than we do.
Cardinal Francis George of Chicago, Illinois. He's also president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. The European and North American bishops will be conferring with their Arab colleagues here in Rome in the coming days. In fact, the Conference of Latin Bishops of Arab Regions is holding its ad limina visit here in the Vatican. They'll be participating with the Holy Land Coordination Committee in meetings with top Vatican officials Wednesday, after which a press conference will be held here at Vatican Radio in the afternoon. Well, to find the very latest on that and other news on the Holy Land, do check out our website. That's vaticanradio.org.